From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his second message on the subject of Principles of Spiritual Warfare, part of a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text comes from Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 41. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. The act of prayer teaches us our unworthiness, which is a very salutary lesson for such proud beings as we are. If God gave us favors without constraining us to pray for them, we should never know how poor we are. But a true prayer is an inventory of wants, a catalog of necessities, a revelation of hidden poverty. While it is an application to divine wealth, it is a confession of human emptiness. The most healthy state of a Christian is to be always empty in self and constantly depending upon the Lord for supplies, to be always poor in self and rich in Jesus, weak as water personally, but mighty through God to do great exploits. And hence the use of prayer, because while it adores God, it lays the creature where it should be, in the very dust. Prayer is in itself, apart from the answer which it brings, a great benefit to the Christian. As the runner gains strength for the race by daily exercise, so for the great race of life we acquire energy by the hallowed labor of prayer. Prayer plumes the wings of God's young eaglets that they may learn to mount above the clouds. Prayer girds the loins of God's warriors and sends them forth to combat with their sinews braced and their muscles firm. An earnest pleader comes out of his closet, even as the sun arises from the chambers of the east, rejoicing like a strong man to run his race. Prayer is that uplifted hand of Moses which routs the Amalekites more than the sword of Joshua. It is the arrow shot from the chamber of the prophet, foreboding defeat to the Syrians. Prayer girds human weakness with divine strength, turns human folly into heavenly wisdom, and gives to troubled mortals the peace of God. We know not what prayer cannot do. We thank Thee, great God, for the mercy seat, a choice proof of Thy marvelous loving kindness. Help us to use it aright throughout this day.
Break forth, O joyful hearts, break forth, no longer silent be. Break forth, in grateful praise to Him who came to ransom thee.
Joyful,
longer silent be.
Break
forth, praise to Him.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Please note that because of the increased cost of international postage, we are unable to mail materials outside the continental United States. Text for this message, Principles of Spiritual Warfare, is found in Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Dr. Cairns has listed the first principle as a recognition of the reality of the spiritual world. Then he said that victory is assured because the Lord himself fights for his people. Next, the appearance of the captain of the Lord's hosts taught Joshua that communion with Christ has to precede contending with the enemy. The fourth principle is the realization that in this spiritual warfare, the battle is the Lord's. Israel was about to encounter the greatest opposition they had ever seen, but the Lord, who had promised them the victory, would fight for them. At this point, Dr. Cairns cautions God's people against extremes in spiritual conflict. On the one hand, there is the danger of doing nothing because God is in control. But on the other hand, some Christians suffer severe guilt, thinking it all depends upon them. A balance between these two is needful. The fifth principle teaches us that in these spiritual battles, the Lord is the commander. His people are to follow His orders, not to make up their own battle plan. Now to continue, principles of spiritual warfare, here is Dr. Cairns.
The one who said, "I will build my church, I will do my will, I will save my people, I will defeat mine enemies, I will glorify my Father." Christ has undertaken to do all those things, and He will do them. Without a doubt, the battle is the Lord's. And the fifth thing we must recognize, that not only is the battle of the Lord's, but the leadership in that battle is the Lord's. Joshua came to this stranger and he said, "Art thou for us? Art thou for us?" And that is usually how we phrase the question. Is the Lord for us? Well, the Lord just turns the whole proposition around and He says, it's not so much, am I for you? The question is, are you for me? I am the captain. We have got to understand that the question really is, are we for Him? Now, it is true, the Lord is for His people. The Lord is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Thank God there's a great comfort in knowing that God is for us. But it's very important that we recognize the Lord is not for us merely as a cheerleader. That's how many churches have relegated Him. He's up in the bleachers somewhere. And that's not my language, by the way. I am giving almost a quote, a paraphrase, at least, of a sentiment I heard some time ago from a preacher. And he's up there in the bleachers and he's cheering us on. That is a total blasphemy against Christ. He is not for us as a cheerleader. He is not for us merely as a supporter, though thank God He does support and strengthen us. But He is for us as a sovereign. Oh, that we would recognize that. He is for us as a sovereign. In Isaiah 55 verse 4, the Father says of Christ, "Behold, I have given Him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people." That's what He is. You know, in every army, the role of the leader is vital. You go back to the Old Testament, you see the role that David had in the armies of Israel. What confidence they got simply from his presence. In the Second World War, you think of the devotion that a man like General Patton elicited from his troops. Not that I would compare Patton or any other human general with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not what I'm doing, but I'm simply saying that a commander of such character, of such leadership ability, with such dash, he could suddenly charge and supercharge ordinary men to fight like supermen. And certainly General Patton had that ability, that his men would follow him. They would do what he told them to do, even though under other circumstances it would appear impossible. The role of the leader, who he is, the kind of leader he is, what he does, how he does it, that's vital to any army. Our leader is the Lord Jesus. Listen to what the New Testament says about him. Here you have four texts with the same word in each one of them. Acts 3:15, he is the Prince of Life. Acts 5:31, he's exalted to be a Prince and a Savior. Hebrews 2:10, he is the Captain of our salvation. And Hebrews 12:2, he is the Author of our faith. Now, the Prince, the Captain, and the Author are all the same Greek word. And they give you a full insight into the meaning of the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the commander. The leadership is his. Now that means many things. His example, his encouragement, and his effectiveness all give us confidence. We can follow him anywhere. We know he'll make no mistake. There'll be no lack of planning. There'll be no lack of insight. There'll be no lack of resources. There'll be no lack of power. That means a lot. Many of you know that one of my favorite figures in World War II history is the great Field Marshal Montgomery. Americans love to hate him, and so do most of the British, believe it or not. You never had any neutral feelings toward Lord Montgomery. You either loved him or you hated him. If you served under him, you loved him. For one reason. For one reason. In the western deserts, the commanders before him led the British troops in and out of skirmishes and battles with apparently little or no reason. And men were shedding their blood and maiming their bodies and losing their lives, all to gain and lose again in the same day a few hundred yards of meaningless sand. General Montgomery, as he was then, came on the scene. He said, "That will stop. That will stop." He dug in for the greatest defensive battle of the war up until that time. Said, "That's the battle we fight, and that's the battle they won." Mr. Churchill was pressing for a great advance. The whole British cabinet, the whole British press, they were calling for an advance. Montgomery said, "There'll be no advance. American Sherman tanks are coming in. When we have the tanks, then we will advance." The man suddenly got the realization, here we have a commander who is not going to sacrifice our lives for nothing. He is not going to send us out as has been done heretofore before we are equipped. He is one who will have every detail that he can possibly plan, well planned. He will have every resource on hand. He will have all that any man can do done for us. And those men, many of them did die, but they went to the battle with confidence because their commander had done his work. You lift that up to an infinitely higher level. Our Savior has all the resources. Our Savior knows the end from the beginning. Our Savior makes no mistakes. He loses not one of his people. He never sacrifices the soul of the meanest saint. Oh, what a joy it is to recognize he is our commander. He is our leader. Never forget that. You know, when you get into a church, sometimes you get your eyes on the preacher. Sometimes you're pleased with him, and sometimes you're displeased with him. Well, that's life. If you're pleased with this preacher, thank God. I'm very happy about that. But I want to tell you, I'm not going to get carried away with it, because I realize that by tomorrow morning that could be changed. Not that you're fickle. I don't mean that. But I mean that's life. I have often reminded you of a young lady in my church in Ballymoney. She and her husband, Joan and I, are still very good friends to this day. But she and her family were brought to Christ through the ministry. They owed everything under God to the ministry that we had in Ballymoney. And that young woman, a young lady of considerable genius, she thought that this preacher could do no wrong. She looked up to me the way you would look up to the archangel. And I remember drawing her aside and saying, "You better not do that. By the grace of God, I'll do all I can never to fail you. But with the best effort in the world, either I will fail you or you think I have failed you. There'll come a time when you'll differ, and I want you to have your eyes on Christ. He's the commander. He's the leader." She saw the wisdom of that. It's vital for us all. You get your eyes on the preacher, and you only do things to please a preacher or to please a church, or you get your eyes on the church. Now, I'm a Free Presbyterian, not by accident, but by conviction. I'm here because I am convinced that God called me here and God placed me here, and I wouldn't take $1 million a week and be anywhere else. And I mean that quite literally. But if you zero in on the denomination or the church, and that's all you see, first of all, you're setting yourself up for a fall, for disappointment. You become embittered. And secondly, you're inhibiting your service. Oh, that you would see Christ. He is the commander. And if you see the Savior, you will realize that He demands your best, but He deserves your best. There'd be times when you would look at me, or look at the church, or look at sinners, or look at the situation and say, "I can't be bothered. Those people don't deserve that effort from me. What right have they to expect that effort from me?" But oh, get your eyes on Christ, and you'll realize that He always deserves your best. You're not serving the church. You're not serving the preacher. When you give your money, you're not giving it to me or to this session and committee, except as servants of the Christ of God. You give of your substance and of yourself to the Savior. He deserves your best. But also remember, as a commander, His word is law. His word is law. A commander does not come and give you the option. He gives you the order. And there are many of God's people who would have to plead guilty that they have gone absent without leave. That they have gone absent in the day of battle. That they have ignored the commander's commands. That they are not doing the will of their great Prince, Captain, and Savior, Jesus Christ. They know the order of battle. They know the command of Christ. They know the will of God. They know what the Lord demands of them, and they're not doing it. There are Christians perhaps even here this morning, and you've got so caught up with things that don't really matter. You've deafened your ear to the call and command of the Lord. Men and women learn, not only is the battle the Lord's, but the leadership is the Lord's as well. And that leads to the sixth thing we must recognize, that full surrender and obedience are required of every servant. As soon as Joshua met the commander in chief, he said, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" As soon as he saw the captain of the Lord's host. And you know, I have to say that that is the natural and inevitable reaction of a born-again believer when he sees Christ. When we are going absent without leave, when we are going to do what we want and we are disobedient to the will of God plainly declared in Scripture, when that happens, it is always indicative of the fact that we have lost sight of Christ. Lost sight of Christ. When you lose sight of the Savior, you lose the motivation to live right. you lose the motivation to do right, and you lose the motivation to serve. And I want to tell you this morning, you look at your own heart, if you're in the wilderness today, when you've lost out with God and you're not serving God and you're not doing the will of God, you know you failed to meet with Him and get your eyes on Him. Because once you see Him, there be surrender. What saith my Lord to His servants? Isn't this the call of the New Testament as well as the Old? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the call of God. Service demands surrender and obedience.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.